Yeah. All right, December 17th, Tuesday.
Yeah. If somebody knows how to pray.
Papa? Sure, Father, we thank you. We thank you for all these meetings, Father, every week. Father, we thank you that you allow us to be together and share what you do in us. Father, I ask you to allow this meeting to keep going, Father. And I ask you to be today with us and just let the Holy Spirit speak, Father. Yes, we thank you and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, with God all things are possible. And I don't know how many people accept that or believe that or even understand what he's saying. Because we think of Superman. Or we think of things that are limited, that we can understand. And there's no way that we can understand who or what God is. Even though eternal life is to know him, there's no way that we can understand who he is. He's beyond our understanding, you know. His ways are, how does it say that? Are beyond.
That's coming up.
Past finding out. Yeah, okay. And so here we are. We're creation. And we're trying to understand God. And it's no wonder that God is offended or whatever. That's not the right word. But when people don't believe in him, you know, there's no other explanation. Nothing makes any sense except God. And at the same time, who is he? And I began to realize that, you know, as we pray, it says that we, you know, we don't know how to pray. And so our understanding is unfruitful. You know, we don't really know the you know, what we're praying for. And besides that, we don't even know what the right thing is for us to do. So we pray according to our own will, which is what we have to do, but we don't know if our will is anywhere near accurate. Am I making any sense?
Hello.
Okay. Well, I'm having a little trouble with my teeth. But the thing is that to understand God or to... you know, eternal life is to know him. To know God is not understanding God. It's a faith substance. And so, I don't know if I'm making this, I'm trying to make some sense.
You are, I understand. I know you.
But I think, in a way, we understand God in our own understanding, in our own mind. We just don't know the depth of God.
Well, that's... And I guess that's kind of what I'm getting to here.
No.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. We don't know everything about God.
No, but we know some things.
Yeah.
Well, but the only way we know anything is through him.
Yeah.
You don't know anything just by natural observation.
Although it does say that you should know him by natural.
Well,
isn't it in that one place about?
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean it gets you eternal life. It just acknowledges that there is a creator.
Well, men are without excuse if they don't go by the natural observation and believe in God. If we see the things that what he has made is the evidence that he is the creator.
Yeah, the scripture is important to know, to note, is it says, you know, with God all things are possible, and it's super important to realize that it's with God. It's not, because it also, it is true that it's for God all things are possible, but the scripture is saying it's with God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you and God, then all things are possible. For, you know, it's with God. I had a crazy dream, like the last dream of my sleep. Stupidest dream, almost cartoonish. I was in this place, I don't know where, a building, and there was this giant, like a giant human, you know, like, but he had like a warrior outfit, you know, like warrior, but a giant. And the devil was someplace. I couldn't see it, but he was there. And this giant says, I'm going to beat the crap out of the devil. And I'm looking, I'm like, and I'm laughing. I'm like, because you're a giant, you think you can defeat him, you know what I mean? And then all I knew is that I needed to get out of the building because it was going to be a mess. So, but the only way out of the building now, I'm like 3-4 stories high. It's the only way out. I had to jump. And of all things, I'm carrying a bucket, a pail. Heavy. It's not a cement, it's a heavy pail, a cement. I had to, it was either jump or stay in the building. And in the dream, I thought, for some reason, I had to believe and say, jumping wouldn't be tempting God. I mean, but in the jumping, before I jumped, I was like, I needed to talk. I said, you know how Jesus said to Pilate, I think, you have no power over me unless it's being given to you from above. So I'm like, for some reason, I needed to tell the devil. It's like, you have no power over me unless it's being given to you from above. And then I jumped. And it was, that's where the dream ended. But the understanding was that I jumped and I was fine. You know what I mean? So I woke up and I thought, can you have this stupidest dream? I'm stupid, so I tell her, and she's like, oh, that's a spiritual dream. I'm like, you are crazy, go back to sleep. And she starts talking to me, and now she's not talking to me like, oh, this dream, but she's talking to me just like you read a book. And she's like, well, the giant is you, she says. I'm like, no, I said, because I was there and the giant.
Who said that?
Candy. But then as she starts talking, all of a sudden, I realized that there was a spiritual dream. And Candy was like laying it out, like she was in the dream too, and she had like perfect understanding. Now, she says, the giant is you. And you think you can defeat the devil because you're so big, not physically, but you think you can defeat the devil like with the wrong weapons, almost. And he says, and that heavy bucket, he says, is all your stuff that you, all that weight, stupid extra weight that you carry with things that don't matter that you need to just throw. And the jumping, he says, like, you know, you just you have no power over me. But long story short, she was right. To me, it was a stupid dream. Why, you know, a giant, a bucket, a heavy bucket, you know what I mean? But she was right, and I had to jump. But, you know, but normally, when you have a dream like that, I would never thought that the giant was me. You know what I mean? Because the giant was somebody else, but no, the giant was me. Mm. I don't know. Oh, you know what? And also, as I look up, there's this airplane going right, like, almost touched the building, big, old. Passenger airplane, going, I don't know, the airplane, I didn't tell her that. Anyway, I figured it was kind of a spiritual dream, I suppose. I thought it was stupid when I woke up.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But she was, she laid it out. She's like, well, the giant is you, the bucket is this, and blah, 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 blah. It's not like, what could this be? Let me think about it. It was immediately, there was no nothing. You know? She's like, boom, 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 boom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not that I understand the dream, of course I don't, but we also, we sit and we're afraid of the devil. We have some pretty strong angels that are sent to, you know, to help the area of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was one that in the book of Daniel, remember, that he was sent to help Daniel, but he fought with the prince of Persia. Remember that in there? And what did he fight? 3 weeks? 21 days or something? And before he could get to give Daniel understanding. And so there's a spiritual warfare that goes on. And it says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we wrestle with principalities and powers. And so, for what it's worth, you know, if we could see what's really going on,
yeah,
we wouldn't sleep. And fortunately, God doesn't let us see it.
You know, I heard an aspect in the scripture that I just never caught. It never just went by me before, but you know when Peter was released, you know, and the angel got him out of prison?
Yeah.
And then he was knocking at the door, and the girl kept saying, well, it's Peter. And she wouldn't open the door. I think this is the same, but somewhere in there, they went, well, no, it must be his angel.
Mm.
And how would the, Why would his angel sound like him? Is that, and does your angel look like you if he happens to appear? You know, I never paid attention to the fact that, well, what made him think that it could be his angel and not him?
Possibly. I mean, we're praying 24/7, but it can't possibly be Peter.
Yeah, we've been praying for him because he's in prison.
But it can't be him.
So eventually they did open the door.
Yeah. But is that human nature?
Mm-hmm.
But that's, just, you know, those things put a whole, you just puts another realm involved that you're not aware of or we don't think about very much. And I guess I never wanted to think about angels too much because I've never seen them, any. So, but you know what? I've had enough things in my life where I know I have angels looking out for me. At least one. You know?
Well, I tell you.
And you do.
I have something that does concern me. And it's in the scriptures. And Jesus keeps, I mean, a lot of things that are greater than anything I've ever been a part of. And Jesus says, oh, you of little faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he's referring to it. He never tells anyone, oh, you of great faith. It's always, you of little faith. And that kind of describes us.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, you of little faith. So then what is the faith the size of a mustard seed would move a mountain?
Not even that yet.
Huh? Yeah.
Not even that.
I mean, we're not even there.
No.
You know?
But you know what? We are changing. Every day we're changing. And I can see it in us. You know, it's like the kingdom comes without observation, but at the same time, we can see changes that are taking place in us. And some of the things that I see that give me a lot of hope is the honesty that's taking place. You know, confess your faults to one another, that you might be healed. Well, what's happening is there's an honesty taking place in us, where I hear things from this small group of people that I've never heard before. You know, honesty. You know, and something that we begin to recognize is you know, like the thing on about Elijah. Is, you know, it says he was a man of like passions. Well, as I look back and I see him, and I see David, and I see Solomon, and people that we respect, you know, from the scriptures, they all of them had flaws, they had weaknesses, and you know what? God had made sure to let us know about those flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, we would get, you know, we'd start getting under conviction and then condemnation. That's why Paul says there's now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Well, if I didn't know about the flaws, well, it's in that very in this eighth chapter of Romans, in the seventh chapter, Paul has given us his resume of difficulties. The good that I would I do, not the evil that I would not. And so we look at it, and he says, what am I going to do? He said, I thank God for Jesus Christ, because he has the power to get me delivered. And so then you turn to chapter 8, and right away quick. Of course, in the original, there was no chapter separation. Is therefore, there is no condemnation. Well, if anything would bring God, I would think that Paul would be under lots of condemnation. And we don't even know what difficulties he had. But I'm guessing it's kind of similar to what we have.
You know, I'm just putting some of this, like that dream and everything, kind of in perspective here. And so, to move the faith of a mustard seed, well, where's it going to come from? Where does faith come from? It comes from God, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is through the Word.
Yeah.
You know, by hearing, you know.
By hearing the Word of truth.
So, like we say, we don't have any, but what if one day God gives it to us?
If God is going to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness,
He's going to give it to somebody.
I got a secret suspicion somebody is going to have it.
But you take what, you know, was said in the dream. It's what you was. You have no power with God. Everything's possible, and you have no power over me if it doesn't come from above, mm-hmm. Right? So, and I had the dream about walking on water, and the thing was. Because it was based on faith, the faith was so like common or like you were so used to having it that it was no big deal to, if you had to walk on water, you could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just because you had gotten to that place, mm-hmm. where you were, you know, totally dependent on the one from above, and he had given faith to you to believe that you could do those things. It wasn't like, well, we got to work it up and pray for it. It was just like, no, just, it's there. Do it.
No.
You know, it was just so, I don't know, it's hard to explain. It just seemed so, well, it was kind of like, well, I'm going to go across the street now.
Right.
Only it's water, you know.
you just stepped out.
Yeah, you just stepped out in faith and we're going to do it.
You know, like I've been repeating myself the last couple of weeks about the scripture, it's better to put your trust in God than to put confidence in man, or the other way around, confidence, trust in God, whatever. Anyways, you know, Candy and I, we talk about the scripture, and it's hard, no matter how much we know God, it's still hard it's hard. But but it's my goal. And but for example, see with Felicity, you know, she had pneumonia, and if we give her the antibiotics, she will be good in 2 days. But if you give, but if we give her the antibiotics, first of all, we're trusting in man. Second, the antibiotics will her immune system will not be as good the next time the same thing happens. It's just, and for anyway, different reasons. We were so close to giving the antibiotics on last Saturday, and all of a sudden, and then she would have been good Monday, but we did not give her the antibiotics, and she was good. She was good. She was just fine. And right now, she's back to normal, and I was just so thankful that God, through my unbelief, kept me from giving. Let me try. You know, forget about the antibiotics. That God basically made us trust in Him. You know what I mean? Kept trusting in Him. He had to make the circumstances work, so we could just have to trust in Him without giving the antibiotics. And she was fine. And that to me, that's a defeat. You know, that's a defeat of the devil, but that's also a conquering. That's a
victory.
A what?
Victory.
A victory. It is a victory, to me at least. And I was thinking, was it this morning or yesterday morning, like, you know, this guy that tells Jesus, you know, about the faith. We do have some faith. I'm not, because if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will move a mountain. And we haven't moved a mountain, but we have had last several prayers answered. But we haven't really had the need of actually moving a mountain.
No.
But I feel like I'm, and this makes no sense when this guy says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, I am exactly there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like no more nor less. It's like I believe, have my unbelief. And that thing has like never made sense to me. And it still doesn't, but I feel like I belong there. You know?
But it is more and more, though.
Right. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. In a sense, to have pneumonia go away with no help from man, it's a pretty big mountain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
Right.
I mean, because that's something that could actually kill you.
Right. Right.
If it gets too bad.
Right.
You know.
Right. No, just, you know, it wasn't a bad thing of pneumonia.
Yeah.
Little pneumonia, but still. You know, yes. And it can get worse. It can get into big pneumonia.
Yeah.
And I was having a battle. It's like, am I who I say I am? You know what I mean? Am I going to trust in God like I tell people should, or am I not? And it was difficult because she's not only my daughter, but she's a little girl. She's coughing. She can't sleep. She's didn't go to school. And you know, Peter says, you know, you live in the world. You're going to go through the same things that everybody else goes through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not because you're a Christian and you believe, is you're not going to have issues. Everybody's going to have issues, sicknesses, difficulties. So, you know.
There's a scripture that's repeated several times, but I don't know if it's in the New Testament, but it's in the Old. And it says that they that put their trust in the Lord will never be ashamed.
Mm. Yeah.
There's a scripture that says that. They that put their trust in the Lord will never be ashamed. Well, I don't know that we appropriate that or understand it or anything. You know, that's another one of those. I don't know that we do. And until you do.
Yeah, right. I was just going to mention that. Everybody's at a different level.
Yeah.
Of how much they trust God. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can't go, well, now that worked for us. Why come you and the rest of you aren't doing it? You know, I mean, you can't.
Jerome Wagenius was healed so many times. He was healed of cancer. He was healed of heart problems.
Kidney.
And he went to the doctor, and they found him with cancer, 3 or 4 times. God healed him. But he still went in and they checked him and found out it was cancer. And then from that point on, he trusted God. He didn't go through any chemo or anything like that for any of his cancer. And he died over in Russia of a heart problem. He had a bad heart. And he died a year ago. And he was 10 years older than I am.
He was in Russia when he died?
No.
Oh.
No, he died in Russia. And they took him into the hospital because there was no heartbeat. No pulse, no heartbeat, no nothing. And they got him there and he set up. And so when he's a doctor, when he was in a place, and you know, he had no problem with going to the hospital. But he got healed when he would go, because he would just trust God in spite of it. He'd find out what was wrong with him, and then he'd trust God and get healed. And kind of weird guy. But let's see, I'm 83. No, he's not. He would have been about 90, or close to 90. He's about Simon's age. And so, and he went to the hospital, he went to the doctor, and they said, you got a bad heart, Jerome. And finally, the doctor told him, he said, Jerome, we've come to the realization that if you're going to die, somebody's going to have to kill you. he's just not going to die. Made all those trips. But you know what? He was strange. He was a strange character. He was standing waiting for somebody to pick him up over in South Africa. And he's standing up there all by himself. He didn't know where he's at. Out in one of those villages. And the car was supposed to come pick him up. And he's standing there, and some guys come by, and they're shooting their guns up in the air. And there's about 3 or 4 of them in the car. And they aimed their guns at Jerome. Jerome says, they're going to have to shoot me in the back. He turned his back on him and started walking away. And the next thing he knows, here comes this car, and Jerome, and they said, get in the car. So Jerome got in with them, and away they went. He was waiting for somebody to come and pick him up.
It was the guys with the guns?
No, somebody else. He said, it's a kind of a scary feeling. He said that. But they want him to turn around and shoot him in the face. He wouldn't do it. But he exercised a lot of faith. There's a lot of weaknesses in Jerome. But you know what? God knows. And the same thing with us. And that's what I kind of started out saying. Got a long ways away from it, but God knows what we need more than we do. God knows what is right more than we do.
Oh, definitely.
And so that's why he's given us, you know, the... Yes, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, your will in what I need. You know what I need. I don't know what I need. I know. And that's what we have to pray that way. Because the truth is, we don't know what we need. We don't know what's right. Only he does. And so once we start to recognize his greatness, and he is, you know, he's over every single person. He knows every single person. And I'm wondering, that's a crazy thing, but I'm wondering at what point Now, did they say that he breathed into Adam and Adam was given the breath of life? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
So if that's true, is that his ability to breathe? Is that the breath of life? And if so, does a baby receive the spiritual whatever it is when after they're born and they begin to breathe on their own?
No. Huh? I don't know. Because, I'll get a little mixed up here, but when Mary and Elizabeth were pregnant, and the Spirit of the Lord jumped, and the baby jumped in the womb, received the Holy Spirit in the womb, if I remember that right.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so it's hard to say.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on how you want to believe it and take it for yourself, you know.
Well, you know what it is? It's whenever God says a person is really a person.
Yeah.
And if he thinks, well, it's still in there, it's a person, then it's got a spirit.
Yeah, it's got a heartbeat.
Right.
You know?
That's what I'm thinking anyway.
Yeah, that's what I say. It depends on how the individual wants to accept that fact. You know. Me,
so,
I'm like you. I believe that at conception, there is one.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the beginning. Like when God breathed life into Adam, that was the beginning.
So if a baby is born prematurely, but he has all of his facilities, and he lives,
yeah,
he is a full born at 6 months, you know what I mean?
Yeah, isn't that, yeah, that's, and you know, if you take proverb of, they're the same that Jesus says that something can't be until it dies, like you plant a seed, which is not what it becomes when you plant it. It's more or less dead, but then when it comes to life, it's something totally different than the seed.
Yeah.
Well, the minute that child in conception, isn't there a seed there? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's the seed that God gave through the male or whatever that goes in, and you have an egg and everything else. Once them two meet, you get the seed of life, you might say. You know?
Yeah.
I never looked at it that way, actually, myself. It's just,
you know, did you ever see that movie, Heaven Is For Real?
No.
What's that again?
Heaven Is For Real?
No, I haven't.
We went to it, my wife and I, and it was about this boy that was in a coma and went to heaven and met Jesus and all this, you know.
I might have read, isn't there a book too?
It could be.
Yeah.
And when he was up there in heaven, he met his sister. Okay. So when he came out of the coma, one day he was talking to his mother and he said, I met my sister. And she said, well, yeah, your sister lives with you. And she says, no. And he pointed at her belly, I met the sister that was in you. She was up in heaven, but she was stillborn or dead.
Yeah, in this case.
You know, I don't know if that's all true or not, but it gives you the thinking that, to your point, that, yeah, maybe at conception there is a spirit there. I don't know, you know, for whatever it's worth, I mean, you know. Moshiach miscarriage, I guess it was.
Yeah, so, right. So, does the spirit come in because you have to be a whole person? You know? I mean, that's the thing you got to ask. Or does it come in the minute, like we're saying, because, well, it's got fingers, but it doesn't have this. Well, it still must have a spirit, I'm thinking, you know?
Yeah.
But wherever in the growth, you know, the growth is going to finish, but the spirit should be there right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Just because the growth finishes doesn't mean that that's when the spirit comes in.
But
you know,
stage of the pregnancy do you have a born baby? You know, in how many weeks or whatever it is, but you already have a heartbeat and everything. And it's very early in the pregnancy.
Yeah, it
is. Think about it.
Yeah, you see the little signs, you know. Well, I at so many, I was smiling, you know.
Yeah.
Or whatever, breathing, or I could see, or I could...
Scripture, I don't know where it is, but I don't know if he speaks about is Jesus or God.
Ah,
what? Go ahead.
I knew you when? Before you were formed in your mother's womb?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of scary, isn't it?
That is, that really hits home all of a sudden.
Well, you know what, Ken? There are so many things about God that are so beyond our understanding. Mm-hmm.
I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb.
He has this thing that's called foreknowledge. And, you know, What does that mean? I mean, we can't even comprehend that.
So, that can make you think all kinds of directions.
Yeah.
He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Then it was it's all totally up to him when you were formed, how you were formed, you know.
This is scripture that says... maybe I'm imagining this. But it says that the Father, I guess, breathes life into every
living creature
that comes into the world. It says.
Oh yeah, I think there is something like that. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. I can't find it, but I don't know when it comes into the world. When it's coming into the world, when it comes out of the when it's born. Or what is conceived.
Yeah.
But there's definitely life at conception. I mean, there's, you get the two things together there, and then the cells start to split.
And then it's like, so why do people, I don't want to get into that, I guess, but it bothers me when people, when they say, well, it's my right, it's my body.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? The part that came in you to form that wasn't yours. You didn't do it with just your egg. Mm-hmm. You know, it took two people and it took an outside, you know. I mean, and so why do you think you have control over that part of it? That you can just get rid of it if you want. You know, because it's an inconvenience or whatever. I mean, and then they say things like rape, you know, well, I guess you'd have to be the right person if you kept the child, which I think would be great because it's still a child. Child didn't have nothing to do with the rape, you know, mm-hmm. But that's a tough one because I've never had it happen, so, you know.
Remember, I can't think of a good name, that minister that we went down to see down in Texas, what was his name?
You know, when I think of him, I always want to say Orbison, but Robinson.
Yeah, Robinson. That's
Robinson.
And you know what his background is?
Baptist, wasn't it?
No, that ain't what I meant.
Oh.
His mother was raped.
Oh. And she still had the child.
And the grandmother would not let her have an abortion. So that's how close he was to an abortion.
Wow.
He became a real mighty, you know, he had a good attitude. I always liked him. What was his name? James?
James Robinson.
James Robinson, yeah.
Yeah, I think your life is already predestined out in God's plan.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I were to, let's just for the sake of argument, say, kill you, I've destroyed God's plan for you. I did more than just kill you, or an abortion. It was more than that, too. Because you took away from God something that is personally, what is God's right, I guess I'm trying to say. You know.
Yeah, but if you say you're destined, then God knew that babies were going to...
Yeah, there's two...
See, but to me, you know what? The only blessing out of abortion, because you can have a person can abort and they're responsible, but you know what? All I feel like all those babies are in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're innocent.
Yeah,
they're innocent.
See, and they have to have. Then that's where the spirit comes in. When does the spirit enter the baby?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't up to. I mean, they're. So that doesn't mean, well, then you should go easy on them because of it. No, because they still probably went against, well, they went against one of God's commandments. Thou shalt not kill. You know?
You know, I think a lot of times, I'm glad I don't have to answer for that particular thing. I got enough to answer for it myself, but I'm glad I don't have to have that on my shoulders, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
I think, though, you know what? Oh, boy, I shouldn't. I don't know if I want to say this or not. I think there was a part, time in my life when I would have went, yeah, you better do that if I would have had it happen. That I impregnated a girl.
Yeah, I was too.
You know?
Yeah, you never have to go.
I had no conception of, it was just like, no, I don't want to be, you know? Even though I'd been brought up somewhat in the church, but that same upbringing is what brought, parts of that brought me back, because there was things that God didn't let me forget about, you know, that I'd heard as a youngster.
I was never put in that position, but
yeah,
I probably would have considered it.
Yeah, that was just one of my theory was all these doctors that are doing all these abortions.
Yeah, I know.
I got enough to answer for.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough one. Yeah. It's obvious that this, the morality in this country has definitely took a turn. You know, I mean, because the acceptance now, I was just listening again to that part in the scripture where it's speaking about, and the woman left the natural
use of the woman.
Yeah, and then men turn to other men. Now, how do you not, how does that not say what it's saying? And I like now commercials, everything. It's got to have a gay couple in it,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just bombarding all the young people to all. You know, and everybody's acceptable,
well,
accepting it now. That's in TV or wherever. You know, it's like on talk shows everywhere. I mean, they even got series on it where they're all, you know, it's going to come down on in the end. You know, and we're going to, you know, I know one of these days I'm going to be asked something, you know, and I'm not going to condemn the person, but I'm just going to say that practice is ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not biblical.
You know, I believe that, everybody's accepting, but I think it's, there's more noise about it that I think that the media makes it look like everybody's very accepting, but I don't think it's as, I think it's a lot of more conservative people
in America. Yeah, it's just that you got to be careful now, and when God wants you to answer, he'll have you answer, mm-hmm. You know, but don't just go out and start bellering.
Yeah.
stuff, you know, against it necessarily at this point.
Well, under the John was, you know, the law and the prophets were until John. And so John was still an Old Testament prophet. And so he spoke to Herod and accused, and it said that he shouldn't have his brother Philip's wife. And so it got him in trouble, and they locked him up. But Jesus never said nothing about it. And he sees this woman from Samaria has been married 5 times and is living with a man. Why did he say something? Tell her, what are you doing? You know, knock it off. And nothing. And she goes, and she's one of the best witnesses to the Samaritans that we see. And so the woman's caught in adultery. And so what does he do? Why didn't he do something? That's anti-Jewish law, you know. But he wasn't of the law. The law was until John, or was the law was given? No, how does it say that?
The law of the prophets.
The law was given by Moses. That grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. How does it say that? John 1:17 maybe. The law was given by Moses. But he was going by the law. John the Baptist was. Because he was under the Old Testament law. He was a prophet from the Old Testament. So he actually fit into both old and new. But in Deuteronomy, God says, I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto you, unto Moses. And when he comes, hear him. Now that's what Moses said. When he comes, hear him. And I'm thinking that what he was, you know, from the, especially from the, like the third and fourth chapter of Galatians, it apparently, it's like the law was given because of man's, what's the word?
So he would know sin, that he was sinful.
Yeah. The law was given because of man's, I know that. It helps if you open it the right way up. Oh no, what am I talking about? Oh, I know.
You know, it's funny. You know that scripture we were saying about, we just touched on a little bit. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Do you know what that leads into? Homosexuality.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of the setting of when he explains all of, when the women turn from there and the men, because they and part of it's because they wouldn't acknowledge God. So, oh no, it says because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creepy things.
Okay. Wherefore then serveth the law? Why was the law given? It was added because of transgressions. The law was given mainly because men were living in sin. It was given until the seed should come to whom the promise was made, which is Christ. You know what I mean? It was added, it says. It was added. It was not God's plan or His purpose. It was added because of men's transgressions, because it was a sinful nature.
You know, we talk about the law that nobody can live by the law or whatever.
Yeah.
But listen, Luke 1:16 is speaking about. No, it's not it. Luke 1:6. There was Joseph and Mary, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Is that talking about the law?
Yeah, but if they would do all the customs and everything associated with the law, but every year they still had to go and have their sins basically forgiven with the priest. So if they were doing the normal stuff, even though they might have been doing things wrong, it meant that every year they went and, I would say it does. You know, they did what they were supposed to do according to what God had laid out. Because Peter, too, he said, you know, No, Lord, I've never. Now, he might have did other, but the one thing he said, no, I've never eaten anything unclean or whatever. And never had associated with Gentiles. You know, until he sent them to Cornelius.
No, it does say the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so what John the Baptist did was a legalistic act of the law. And he condemned, and you know, whatever does it make with Herod? Herod was a Jew anyway. He was a Gentile, you know what I mean? There's a different thing. So what difference does it make? So he's living with his brother's wife. What big deal? But he was under the law. Herod, it's wrong for you to be living with your brother's wife. So they locked him up. But he knew that he was a man of God. Herod knew that. He's afraid of him. And he even had to, he went down and saw him a number of times, it says, and talked to him. And so then Herod knew that what he was doing was wrong. So he was under condemnation or something. But here comes Jesus. And it's like,
excuse me.
He don't say nothing to Herod about living with Herodias. Like why she would call that, I don't have a clue. They asked John the Baptist if he was Elijah. Jesus said he was. He said he wasn't. You know what I mean? Well, he might not even have known the scripture or had a familiar with it.
Well, it doesn't say one like Elijah has come, does it?
And when it says Elijah, it actually says Elijah is going to come. I'll read it to you.
Well, yeah, he says Elijah's already came, and then he refers to John.
Right? Yeah.
But it could be like the spirit of Elijah. What he kind of stood for was or whatever. Well, no, I don't know. I don't want to read stuff into that.
Here's what it says. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We're talking about John the Baptist, because Jesus said we were. See, that's in Malachi. That's the last of Malachi. I will send you Elijah. And so they said, are you Elijah? And he says, no.
So why is he saying he's Elijah? So who is it? So John the Baptist is not Elijah.
Well, I think what it means here, that he's has the spirit of Elijah. And he does. But anyway, the Jews do this. And he says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
And okay, but I mean, the day of the Lord is the last day, isn't it? More than when he came 2,000 years ago.
Well,
it could be the coming of Jesus too.
That's what I'm saying. You know. Send Elijah before Jesus comes again.
Well, it says before, in mine it says before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
But see, to me the day of the Lord is
when he comes to judge. Wouldn't that be kind of the great and dreadful day?
I always assumed that it meant
not just when he came on earth.
Well, they said, they asked Jesus, they said,
See, that's a setting I was thinking of, is when he gives the answer as to who John, where does he do that?
He said, John? He already came.
Yeah.
And they've done unto him what they want, what they desired.
Is that in John?
Yeah, but that's the true Elijah, you know, a long time ago.
No, I mean, this is concerning John the Baptist. They asked him about Mark or Luke?
John?
John something. John.
Okay, what does he say a little bit? The one we're trying to find?
They asked Jesus, they said, well, who is this? Yeah, who's Elijah? They asked him. And he said, Elijah already has come. And they've done to him whatsoever they desired.
But that's Elijah, not John the Baptist.
But try to read it.
I gotta find it here.
Alright. Matthew 17:12.
Is it someplace else too?
Maybe, but it doesn't show in here. Elijah has come already. Unless it's worded different in another.
Well, I have to be careful because I have been taught. Who knows by who? It's
so
certainly
where did
item
you think
right
Matthew
now.
What?
17:12. Does your Bible tell you where other places are the same?
Sometimes it does. I say to you that Elijah has come away, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wish. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to accept it.
Right, so.
Malachi 4:5.
Is that what?
That's a reference it gives, I don't know.
So it's not in another gospel.
Okay, this is interesting. Let's see.
Elias, truly.
Well, it's just saying that's where a reference where it came from, possibly. It might be used again somewhere else.
Then the disciples understood that he spoke of them about John the Baptist. See, that's what I'm going by.
Okay, whatever you're saying is kind of new to me, because my understanding is that Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. My view of this is like, Elijah is coming tomorrow or in 20 years. He's coming, he's going to restore all things. Like the same Elijah from the Old Testament is coming. Because, you know, when Jesus comes, or just before, the dead will rise, the prophets will come out of the grave. You know, just like if the prophets come out of the grave, the people will come out of the grave. You know, suppose Elijah will come out a little time before. I don't know. So, but I said to you that Elijah has come already. Like, yes, he did. He's coming again, but he already came already in the Old Testament, and they did to him basically everything they did to Jesus. They were going to do to Jesus. They didn't know him, and blah, 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 blah. I never seen this as John the Baptist being Elijah.
Well, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist.
Okay,
But it's still in that part there.
Yeah, then it's John the Baptist. Yeah.
Well, it said, indeed, Elijah is coming first that will restore all things.
No,
but I say to you that Elijah has come already. And this is after that vision when they saw when he took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain and he was transfigured. Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. That's right after that. That, you know.
No, there's an asterisk on first over here. It says, and you text permits first. So some translations, I guess, say first. Elijah's coming. I will restore all things.
Oh, yeah, there is a little, there is an asterisk. Yeah. On mine, too.
What to say?
On the first, on the word first, or that saying, one or the other. It might just say, in most of them it might say, indeed Elijah is coming and will restore all things, not first. Oh, that's a little, never, I always just assumed that, you know, he was a, kind of referring to the spirit of Elijah.
Because it, when...
Well, it is. I'm sure it is.
So I thought somewhere it makes mention of the spirit of Elijah.
But it says, indeed, Elijah is coming first. Forget about that. Elijah is coming and will. So, Jesus is speaking about the future. Indeed, Elijah is coming and will restore all things in the future. So, and yes, it does say that the disciples understood that he spoke with them of John the Baptist.
Yeah, but right after what you just read, in
verse 12,
but I say to you that Elijah has already
has
come already.
Right. So there's a second coming, there's a coming. I mean, there's, like Jesus came twice, he's coming twice, Elijah's coming twice. I'm not sitting on it, you know, but
because I know there's somewhere that says something about the spirit of Elijah.
Where, in the New Testament?
Well, I'm not positive. Yeah. I think so, but I guess spirit of Elijah. I shouldn't say where it's at. I don't think.
Oh, that's why they asked. That's why they asked. I didn't realize they were that closely related.
To when the transfiguration? Of
And they came up and here was Moses and Elijah. So then they said, and his disciples said, why then does the scribes say that Elias must first come? They just saw him in a vision. Why did they say he's going to come?
You know, but okay, he says Elijah is going to restore all things. John the Baptist didn't restore anything.
You know what I mean?
He turned the hearts of the children to the fathers.
He turned the hearts of the, and he restored repentance in a different way than it had been.
Yeah, but that's not like all things.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Here's
the Pharaoh of Elijah scripture. This couple in the Old Testament, I don't know that's what you're after. It says, the Spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. But in Luke 1:17, it says, he will also go before him in the spirit of and power of Elijah.
There.
To turn the hearts of the fathers. That's John the Baptist.
Right.
Yeah.
And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just.
See, the same spirit that went on Elisha, because the mantle got passed on. So it's saying the mantle fell also on John the Baptist, and then it probably fell again on Jesus.
It fell on Elisha.
Right.
That's quite a story.
Yeah. But then it says that same spirit that got passed on to was on John. So with John.
So then the disciples understood that he spoke of them to John the Baptist. But that doesn't mean that that's it. That's what they understood, and it was correct. And so just like John the Baptist came and fixed things. And that, I'm thinking that before the coming of the Lord, Elijah is coming and will restore all things.
Well, I don't think the prophet Elijah, the very man.
But maybe the spirit of Elijah or whatever, the Elijah idea or the Elijah.
Yeah, it could fall on the last people.
Yeah.
That minister before the end time?
The only reason why I say this is because it says, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. And it's speaking of the future. You know, it's not speaking of the past. And then this is a separate thing. But I say to you that Elijah has come already. So there's two things. He came, but he's coming.
Well, the man Elijah came, but the spirit of Elijah could come again.
Right. Right. The spirit of Elijah, whatever he did, you know, restore all things or whatever.
Yeah.
It's coming.
So I never related it. That's why the disciples asked him that. They just saw the vision, and they saw Moses and Elijah, and so then they said, "Well, then why does the Bible say, or why does the scribe say?" That Elijah is going to come, you know. We just saw him. What do you mean he's going to come? Without thinking of the spirit. I mean, it was the spirit of Elijah on John. You know what I mean?
It's got to be. At some point.
Because Elijah was like John. You know, John says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to come from the things to come?" You know, who warned you? And it says that it sounds like he said that to the religious leaders. He said that to all of them.
Mm-hmm. Another tough one. He said, "And the time is coming, and now is." No. He says, "The axe is laid at the root of the trees, and to every tree that bears no good fruit, you will be cut down and thrown into the fire."
See, almost everyone, but I can't say for sure, but virtually every prophet was always to turn the people back to God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was that's what almost all of them were doing every time they were, you know, prophesying and ministering was to turn the people back to God, and that's what John was doing. And Elijah did it pretty mightily. I mean,
I have a question for you. You're right, because that's what they did.
Right.
So, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, is the Word God? That's what it says. So if we are being turned back to the Word of God. Are we being turned back to God?
Yeah.
And if we're turning other people to listening to the Scriptures and whatever else, are we turning them towards God? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And, I mean, we haven't recognized it, but that's what it is. You know, we were talking about James Roberson. I was going to say something. I forgot about it. I had something happen with him. And I went to a number of his meetings, you know. And he might have recognized me somehow. But anyway, one day, and we're sitting, Joanna and I are sitting there, and a couple other people. And he came by and he laid his hands on me. And he prophesied. Jim Robeson. And,
Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
Hello.
This is men only.
I know.
At this point.
So,
now it's not.
So guess what?
What?
Take some, too.
I grew a man part. Just so I could
come. You're becoming a transgender.
Actually, nowadays, I get to, what is the word? When you want to be male or female, you get to choose. What is that word?
Gender?
Gender? Yeah. Identify. I can identify as whatever I want. Anyways.
Did you come to help me take a bath?
Yes. Actually, that's why they're all here.
Oh.
They're all here to help. No, I'm going to start. I just got put on tuck-in duty, and I just was... at all I know, I'm frozen. So Felicity's home alone, so I'm going to start Chuck right now.
I hope the rest of you is not that cold.
It is, but I...
You want that on tape?
I don't know.
It's all right.
We're taping.
You're on live.
All right. Well, everyone will
just
get a chuckle.
Just the normal.
Everyone will get a chuckle.
On.
You look at the whole world.
Everybody that listens knows me.
Yeah,
right. They'll be like, oh, Katie sucks.
I want to tell these guys... something. Steve's little granddaughter. Her name, she's 3 years old, and her name is Evie. And Terry takes her shopping, but she's 3 years old, and she's getting to be a little feisty, you know. And so she'll argue. And so Terry and her are arguing about something. And Terry stops, and she says, and I rest my case. And guess what? She picked that up. And now she'll talk to people, she'll say, and I rest my case. She's 3 years old. I thought, that's gotta be on the kids' thing. Anyway, we can turn it off, of course. Now that we
more discussion on Elijah when we get more enlightenment.
You know what? When we get any enlightenment, I keep that's why I think, you know, we're gaining momentum, and then I see the awesomeness of God.